Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Haker and I talk with Sean Whaley, the political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Mindy Elliott, Don Tatro, and Chase Whittemore. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Sully's Sports Bar, inside the Tamarack Junction, is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big-screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Sean Whaley. He's a reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, covers politics, based in Carson City. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam.
Let's talk about Senator Reid. It was interesting in talking to Congressman Amadei the other day, because we were talking about how much he's involved in politics all the way, and he said, well, you didn't really expect him to stay home and play with his stamp collection, did you? But it's just every day there's another story that comes out that Senator Reid is in the middle of it. Any surprise there?
I was a little surprised. I thought maybe on retirement he might take his energies elsewhere, but he's clearly staying very involved in the Democratic politics in Nevada. He encouraged Jackie Rosen to run against Senator Heller and apparently irritated Representative Titus in the process, but he's clearly very much involved in Democratic politics and the elections coming up, and he's obviously not going away.
And one presumes that he still has the ability to raise money.
I would think so. He obviously got great turnout in the last election, made Nevada a state that went for Clinton and swept a lot of offices that were up. And so I guess he's going to see if he can repeat that effort in an off year, though. That's the question, how the turnout will be.
Okay, so it is an off year in terms of presidential election, but we'll have a governor's election. We'll have an unbelievable Senate primary, most likely, as well as actual race. Do you not think that will boost the turnout?
I think they're going to certainly try to encourage voters to get involved in these races because they are so crucial for both Republicans and Democrats. I just don't know if there's enough motivation there. Are Democrats upset with Trump and going to turn out because they want to make a statement? Are Republicans going to turn out because they want to support Trump and the Republicans? I just don't know. And we don't have any big ballot issues right now. Last time around, we had marijuana legalization, and we had the gun background check issue. So we don't have anything on the ballot. We'll have to wait and see. I'm just not sure yet what's going to happen.
What's your sense of whether Dina Titus is going to jump in to the Senate race? Because from the polling that she did, she sure looks good in that.
I think she's probably going to give it real serious consideration, and she's gone against Senator Reid before on when she ran for a House seat that he had somebody else in mind to seek that seat, but she went and she won and she's there. And so she has a track record of bucking Senator Reid, and I think she might do it again. I think the Democrats see Senator Heller as vulnerable and there's a good chance to take that seat.
Sean, how vulnerable is Senator Heller? That, you know, all this stuff with the of Obamacare and his votes, I don't, will it be an issue in a year from now? And look at these past Nevada U.S. Senate races, and they all come down to just a few votes. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think Senator Heller's position on Obamacare is probably the right one right now for his Republican base. That's what he's trying to speak to. The Democrats have been hammering him mercilessly on not supporting the Governor Sandoval on the Medicaid issue when it finally push came to shove with that vote. But he's got to appeal to conservative Republicans, and Democrats aren't going to vote for Dean Heller no matter how he votes on the ACA. So he's got to look to his own constituency, and it's going to be turnout. It's going to be who can get people to the polls as to who's going to win that race. I don't think the ACA debate necessarily is going to be the big issue in that race.
What do you think is?
Well, first of all, it depends on whether or not President Trump pushes forward with some sort of change to Obamacare. And then ultimately, if there is a change and constituents who maybe they're involved with insurance that way, and maybe there'll be some fallout in that respect. If that doesn't transpire, then I think it's more going to be just Democratic platform versus Republican platform, test of whether or not Trump is going to live up to his expectations in midterm election.
You know, it's interesting. In the last 48 hours, we've seen Republicans and Democrats on the Hill coming together under Lamar Alexander to come up with fixes for Obamacare. And it seems like the Congress is starting to take that power away from the president. You saw it with the Russia sanctions, where they passed it with veto-proof majorities. Do you think that that's where this is heading?
I hope so, because I don't think we're getting anywhere with this party line fight that never seems to be resolved, that there's going to actually be some bipartisan effort to fix some problems with Obamacare, which clearly it has. Then hats off to them. I hope they can get there and do that, because I think the American people want progress. They want people to work together and get things done. The sanctions bill is a good example of Congress saying, well, we're going to do this anyway. And Trump did sign that bill today.
You know, you talk about the bipartisanship, which almost seems dead in modern politics. And if you could speak a little bit, I really see this in the Nevada legislature, where, you know, the Democrats came in and it's like my way or the highway. There was no room for cooperation or compromise, especially on the biggest issue, which was the school voucher program. Your thoughts on that, Sean?
Well, I do see a lot less bipartisanship in the legislature in the last session. There were efforts to work together on various bills, and that happens, and it's good. But when it comes to the critical Democratic agenda versus the Republican agenda, there's just no room for compromise, and they just run roughshod over the other side if they've got the votes to do so. Obviously, with a Republican governor who exercised his veto power 41 times, there was a check and balance there. But in terms of the debate in the Assembly and Senate, it's very much just bipolar. I mean, you've got the one side and the other, and there just doesn't appear to be any effort to try to work anything out.
Okay, more with Sean Whaley when we come back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Sean Whaley. He's the political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I wanted to go back to the Dean Heller race for a moment. A lot of noise coming up from the base, it seems, to have Danny Tarkanian run in a primary against Heller. How do you think that would play out?
Well, Danny Tarkanian obviously has run a number of times and hasn't been successful ultimately, but he's always competed well in the Republican primary process, and he's a candidate that appeals to a lot of the base. He's conservative, and he presents a good image. It's just never been able to get over that hump when it comes to the general election day with voters. So I think he's got a lot going for him, but with that track record, that could put off some Republican voters. I'm not sure if they think Danny would be a better person to run in that Senate race against someone like Titus or Rosen, and if that's the thought process. But a primary race there could be quite the battle.
I'm listening to you and thinking, Danny Tarkanian, as you said, does very well in Republican primaries because there is a solid right-wing base that support him. And Dina Titus does the same thing in primaries because there is a solid left-wing base that supports her. But both candidates, analysts have said, are unelectable in a general election. Of course, Titus is wins a general, but she's in a real, Democratic session. So, So I'm just thinking, what if you have two general election unwinnables in Titus versus Tarkanian? I think that would be quite a battle.
I think so, too. And Representative Titus ran for governor, so she's had statewide experience, and she's been through that process before. So I think she knows how to work a statewide campaign. But you're right. She's in a very Democratic district in the House where she is, and that's not a real challenge for her to keep that seat. A lot of the base, you're right, the Democratic base will support Titus and the Republican base will support Tarkanian. You've got all those nonpartisan voters out there that would really be a major player if they showed up and voted. Who are they going to vote based on Trump? Or is it going to be a litmus test on him? Is it going to be a situation where, he suffers in a midterm election like a lot of presidents do after they get elected and the voters sort of retrench a little bit? I don't know how it's going to play out. I'll be very fascinated to watch it.
Let's talk about the governor's race. Steve Sisolak has made no bones about the fact that he's running. And now Kristen Giuliani is out there on Facebook and going around and talking to groups. She was down in Douglas County recently. Looks like she's going to jump into the race, too. There's a case of the hardest worker in terms of reelection in Chris G and somebody with a ton of money, Steve Sisolak. Where do you think that that's going?
That would be quite the primary.
I want the debate, man, right here.
It's going to be quite a contest. And again, we're talking Democrats who appeal very strongly to their base, especially obviously in Clark County. I don't know how well either of those candidates will do in northern Nevada. I think there's a little bit of distrust among voters in northern rural Nevada for sometimes southern Nevada candidates, whether they'll be fair to everybody and not favor their own region. So I think they have to overcome that, both of them. But as far as those two going at it, well, Sisolak's got a ton of money, so I think Chris is coming from maybe, a less competitive position financially right now.
But she's a Clark County commissioner, so she too can raise a lot of money.
And she is a tough campaigner, and she knows how to play the political game. She's been doing it for a long, long time.
Adam Laxalt, anybody going to come in and challenge him in a primary?
Well, based on listening to your show, I understand our treasurer might be interested in taking him on in a primary, and that would be an interesting primary because, Mr. Laxalt's obviously done pretty well in terms of his career as attorney general with, again, a Republican base. I don't think there's too many Democratic fans of his approach to challenging under Obama the federal regulations and so on. And so I think clearly he's going to have issues appealing to a wide base of supporters. But Dan Schwartz, I mean, called Faraday right. He's been very critical and outspoken, and he's going to be a kind of candidate that's got nothing to lose. So he could make it very difficult for Mr. Laxalt.
You know, it seems to me, and this might be an attraction for Republican voters, but Treasurer Schwartz, he's shunned by mainstream Republicans. I'm thinking like Ben Kieckhefer and Michael Roberson. You know, they don't like him. The Governor Sandoval has had his angst with the treasurer. So he looks like a maverick. He kind of looks like a maverick candidate if he does run for governor.
Yeah, but which one, Brett or Bart?
I agree.
That's a very old reference for some of our listeners.
I didn't get it. And I'm older than you, Sam.
Old shows, right? Well, I think he is a maverick, and I think he could appeal to a lot of people. There have been other candidates who weren't part of the Republican establishment that have run races and been successful. So he could potentially do it.
Sean Wiley, always a pleasure, sir. See you soon.
Thanks.
We'll be right back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management, training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Mindy Elliott is here, partner with Capital Partners, Chase Whittemore with Argentum Partners, and Don Tatro has no partners, but he's with the Builders Association of Northern Nevada. And you're a man who is in a desperate position, which is you need workers. I mean, when you talk to anybody from a handyman level to the most sophisticated person in construction, you need everybody.
Absolutely. We're working on a variety of fronts right now to address the issue, starting with, you know, getting metal shop, wood shop back into the schools. I have curriculums ready to go at any of the local school districts. Yesterday I was on the phone with a Hurlong prison trying to get reentry programs where they'll be in a pre-apprentice program in carpentry, come out and have a skill ready to go. They'll have their OSHA card and things like that. So we're working on a variety of fronts to get skilled labor here and unskilled labor. We also need, that brings up immigration reform. We need to find a way to get good workers into our workforce and figure out a program.
Is there a way, is there an area of the country that is not on the rise right now where we could import workers from in the United States?
Short answer is no. You're seeing oil make a comeback. You're seeing North Dakota, South Dakota with production increasing. Those blue-collar or even skilled labor are going back into those markets. And we're seeing nationally this is a trend. The average age in America of a plumber is 56 years old. So we just don't have enough people. The millennial generation doesn't want to go and get their hands dirty, and they need to understand that work in this field is the quickest way to self-employment, to being your own boss and running your own business, and it's a great field to be in.
Mindy, one of the problems that developers are having is that banks are being very tight because of the rules that came out from the Congress and Dodd-Frank in loaning money. And so I'm hearing a lot of home builders saying, we could do more, but we're not able to get the money. You came from the banking industry.
I did, and I've heard the same thing. And I know that the Congress is looking at some reforms that might help with some of the rules that were put into place. Part of the challenges that we have is that some of the developers, obviously, we have peaks and valleys in development. they fell on some hard times. And the rules that are in place right now, you claw back to several years, and if they had some hiccups in their credit or so on and so forth, then the banks they're hamstrung as far as what they can do from the standpoint of providing financing. That's why you're seeing so many investors come in from the national to nationally. You see a lot of New York investors. You see California investors investing in Nevada, especially Nevada, because they see that there's an opportunity and that these projects are cash flowing.
Has any of President Trump's executive orders helped out the situation at all?
No, not yet. Not that I'm aware of. I'm still, the OCC is still in charge. They're in charge of the banks. They're in charge of the audits, and the rules for the OCC have not been, they have not been relaxed.
Chase, you know, we've got major projects at both ends of the state. Just to name a few, Chip Bobley, just as one developer, has this huge Ranch Hera project. He's just breaking ground and doing tests on another huge project. I think it's 46 acres at Park Lane Mall. In Southern Nevada, you've got the Convention Center expansion. You've got Genting actually moving forward, building their property. What do you envision? Do you see a lot of this stuff stalling at this point?
I wouldn't say it's going to stall, but the affordability, I think, is the biggest issue facing the city of Reno right now. I mean, in terms of labor and everything else, you talk to Tesla, you talk to Panasonic, they can't hire quick enough because people just can't afford to live here. So developments like Ranch Hera, although very good for our economy, that's not going to help the affordability. It'll put downward pressure on prices for sure, but the more development projects we streamline and that the city of Reno and Washoe County approves, we're going to be in better shape.
You know, just the other day I was talking to some realtors, and I came away with the knowledge, I guess, that there's not a lot of inventory on the homes that are lower priced that would, where if you're a Tesla worker or someone in a similar situation to come in here, there's no place to go. There's a lot of homes on the market, $500,000 and up, but not for the regular folk.
I think it's really from the probably $850,000 to over $1 million as an inventory. Part of the opportunity is that if we had some homes between $500,000 and $700,000 that folks could move into, they could move up. It would provide some opportunity for those starter homes that people purchased 4 or 5 years ago. Now they have two kids, they have a couple of dogs, and they want to move into a larger home. But the inventory from about 500,000, 800,000 is still pretty soft. If you go online and kind of look, you can see that that's soft. So there really isn't anywhere for folks to move up to out of those starter homes, which would hopefully provide some resources for folks that want to move here.
Okay, we're going to keep you guys around for our next show, so stick around and we'll have more with our pundits when we come back.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
On our next broadcast, Reno Mayor Hillary Sheevy joins us. We'll see you then.